is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. I hope you're well. I hope you're safe. I hope you are absolutely amazing. This is when the show gets started. Every single weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our super producer and host, Ryan Hickey, for holding it down for us in New York City. Let me say it again if I didn't say it already. Happy Friday. You might be leaving work. You might be on your way to work. You might be, I don't know, you might be hanging out for the weekend, getting a head start. Thank you for being here. You can always listen to the show on the free Odyssey app, on your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, Sirius XM channel 375. If you got a smart speaker, ask that speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. Man, we got a lot to do, right? Aaron Rodgers still doesn't have a job. Cooper Kupp still doesn't have a job. Apparently, they have some interesting suitors. DeMarcus Lawrence, he found himself a job in Seattle. Michael Parsons called him a clown for leaving. They got into a Twitter beef or an X beef. What a shock. What a surprise. It's official. There's no Cooper Flagg playing for Duke today. No, he's out with an ankle sprain. I think we all knew that yesterday. And to talk about everything going on with these conference tournaments, what we should expect next week when the big tournament starts, what we can expect on Sunday during Selection Sunday, Jim Root is going to join us. Covers all things college basketball from The Athletic. A matter of fact, he will be here in 20 minutes. Myles Garrett has spoken, and he shovels a whole lot of crap around about why he decided to rescind his trade request with the Cleveland Browns and take their money. Now he says it has to do with winning. What a shock. What a surprise. Speaking about trade requests and rescinding anything, apparently Bradley Beal of the Phoenix Suns, now that we, at least the Suns, their offseason is going to start sooner than later. Bradley Beal says, yeah, I'm open to moving. Just didn't want to do it in the middle of the season. Okay. Sam Darnold has spoken as well about moving teams from Minnesota to Seattle. He talks about what he learned from last season, when he stunk at the end. Thank you. Thank you so much. Of course, it's Friday. I'm bringing you a new edition of the Friday Funny. No NFL playoffs, might as well make fun of a few people. Luka Doncic's calf is hurting again. So maybe for, I don't know, 24 hours, Nico Harrison feels vindicated and moving on from Luka Doncic. I can't believe this. We got March Madness starting next week. We're already in the midst of March Madness. The Major League Baseball season is going to start next week. It gets going in Tokyo, Japan. Yeah, the Dodgers and the Cubs are going out to Tokyo to start the season. I can't believe it. Baseball season starting up already. And of course, at the end of the show, we'll go through a few things that took place this day in sports history. If you want to be a part of the show on a Friday, March 14, 2025, you can. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'm on the internet. I am at JR Sport Brief, super producer and host Ryan Hickey. Happy Friday to you, man. How are you? What's up?
Happy Friday to you as well, JR. We're doing well today. It's sunny. It's a Friday. We got college basketball all day today. I mean, come on. This day can't get any better.
No Duke, though, man. There's no Duke. Well, there's Duke. There's no Cooper Flagg, right?
That's right. That stinks. That does. But you know what? Small sacrifice, hopefully, fingers crossed. Small sacrifice today for what should be a big reward this time next week, right?
Yeah, he'll be back. No big deal.
Who's back first, Cooper Flagg or LeBron James?
Oh, boy. Cooper Flagg, come on. Okay. He's 18 years old. LeBron is 40 on vacation, okay?
I'm just checking.
He's a 40-year-old billionaire. All right? Like, let's think
may
about
never
that.
Come back, then, when you put it that way.
Well, I mean, he likes he really got to like basketball, huh? Ain't no other reason to be playing basketball. He is a 40-year-old billionaire. LeBron James could quit tomorrow, and everything would be fine in his world. He's just playing because he likes basketball. And let's be real. I mean, outside of a terrible Space Jam movie and, he's done a lot of nice things. So what else has he done? He's played basketball. Good for him. God bless him.
Started a school.
That's right. Is the school still exist? Is it still running?
I believe it does.
I don't know.
Last time I checked, at least.
Yeah, he started the I Promise School. That's great. Yeah, LeBron, you know, people like to beat up on LeBron. What do you want from the guy? He's 40 years old. He's been famous since he was, what, 16 years old? Like, give him a break. Like, if your silly ass was famous from 16, man, you'd be in all types of trouble. Guy hasn't done anything to anybody. Give him a break. Anyway, we'll talk about the Los Angeles Lakers later in the show, as not only LeBron James is dealing with a groin issue, Luka Doncic is dealing with that dreaded calf. No Luka Doncic tonight, as the Los Angeles Lakers are in action against the Denver Nuggets. What a day. What a day. We got a lot to talk about. Let's get this on out the way. Because it's always funny how once this show ends and we step out of the studio, there's always something new going on. At night, right? Last night, as I, you know, finish up and wrap up here, and we talked about it. We heard from him. DeMarcus Lawrence left the Dallas Cowboys, and he decided to sign with the Seattle Seahawks. No big deal, right? Pass rusher, unfortunately for DeMarcus Lawrence. Last year, he was pretty banged up. He only played 4 games. That's it. 4 games last year. A total of 3 sacks. I mean, the guy hasn't had double-digit sacks since 2017 and 2018. So no big deal that he leaves the Dallas Cowboys, right? No big deal that he decides to leave Dallas and go play for Seattle alongside Leonard Williams. No big deal, right? Well, Micah Parsons found a big deal, because Micah Parsons did not appreciate DeMarcus Lawrence's comments, where he said this yesterday to Hawks blogger about why he left the Cowboys to go to Seattle. Listen to this.
You know, Dallas is my home. I made my home there. You know, my family lives there. You know, I'm forever going to be there. But, you know, I know for sure I'm not going to win a Super Bowl there.
Oh, ouch. That wasn't necessary, right? And let's be real. Does DeMarcus Lawrence have a better chance of winning a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks? Does he have a better chance of winning a Super Bowl with the Seahawks than he does the Dallas Cowboys? The answer is hell no. No. No, they probably, and I didn't even look at the odds in Vegas. They probably got about the same chance in hell to win a Super Bowl, let's just say in 2025 or 2026. And that's a snowball's chance in hell. DeMarcus Lawrence didn't do nothing but follow the money. And hopefully he's healthy enough to actually go out there and play for the Seattle Seahawks. That'd be nice if he was able to show up and play. But I told you, Micah Parsons did not appreciate this. The Dallas Cowboys star edge rusher, awaiting his own big-time contract bestowed upon him by Jerry Jones. Micah Parsons, who's a podcast host, of course he is. What star athlete doesn't host a podcast? Micah Parsons went on where else? X. He went on Twitter. What else would he do? And he said, in response to what you just heard, this is what rejection and envy look like. This is some clown crap. And he did not use the word crap. And because this is Twitter, because this is X, DeMarcus Lawrence responded. DeMarcus Lawrence responded. Yeah, two ex-teammates getting after each other on social media. What a world. DeMarcus Lawrence said, "Calling me a clown won't change the fact that I told the truth. Maybe if you spent less time tweeting and more time winning, I wouldn't have left." Damn. That's it. No response from Micah Parsons. That was it. What type of world is this, man? What type of world are we living in? Is this the world that I want to be a part of? We got athletes yelling at each other on social media like they're in middle school. We got athletes beefing with each other like they're strangers on Facebook. Like, y'all don't got nothing better to do to just count money? Man, if I was making this NFL money, you wouldn't find me on social media beefing with anybody. Like, what's the point? I like it, though. It's fun. It gives me something to talk about. It's entertaining. The most difficult part, or disappointing part, I should say, about all of this, they both play on the defense. Like, there's no way in hell, unless they decide to go beat the living hell out of each other prior to a game, there is no way in hell that will see DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons line up against each other. There will be no battle. There will be no chase. They play on the same damn unit, the defensive one. So the biggest battle we'll get is social media. And so for a few hours, they go back and forth. This is almost like the Spider-Man meme. 3, 4, 5 Spider-Man standing in an alley, just as Spider-Man pointing at each other. Because between the Seattle Seahawks and the Dallas Cowboys, they're both losers. Nobody is winning a Super Bowl. And how about this? Chris Canty used to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Chris Canty, he was on Get Up, and he said that DeMarcus Lawrence actually has a point. Listen to this.
If you can't sell winning at the highest level, there's no way the player is going to take the discount. And for Tank Lawrence, this is a guy that's been in Dallas across multiple coaches, across multiple quarterbacks, across different cores of players, and the results seem to be the same. And you know why the results are the same? It's because Jerry Jones, in this ever-elusive chase for credit post-Jimmy Johnson, has undermined the authority of the head coach at every single turn within that franchise, and that has been an impediment to creating the kind of culture that it takes in order to have success at the highest levels. And, G, I should know. I had to leave the Dallas Cowboys to win my damn championship.
See, I told you played for the Dallas Cowboys. He ain't win no title, though. Yeah, he's right. He is right. Why Micah Parsons would feel, I don't want to say emboldened, but why even bother? He's your ex-teammate. What, do you miss him? You a sad ex? Your girlfriend left you, and now you're mad? You got to go on social media and whine and cry about it? And what Chris Canty said is true. This is nothing new. Jerry Jones undermining head coaches and their ability to win. He might as well be the coach. He's the de facto everything in Dallas, which is why they are a failure. And so good luck to DeMarcus Lawrence. And good luck to Dak Prescott. Or not Dak, but Micah Parsons. Good luck to all of them. I guess it's going to be about 3 weeks before we see Dak walking around with his foot in a boot in the offseason like last year. Although I did see Dak walk by a wedding. He walked by a wedding party of Eagles fans, and they decided to heckle him. Hickey, did you see that?
I did see that, yes. Good for those girls.
Dak can't have one offseason where he's left alone, huh?
You know, it's a small price to pay for what he's getting paid and the fame he has. You've got to walk by one bachelorette party in, what were they, like Bermuda, Aruba, something like that? Somewhere nice.
Living a good life for him, right?
That he is. If that's what you got to endure, listen, I'll take his paycheck.
What's the next crazy thing that happens for the Cowboys? Is it like, what's next? It's only March.
It's only March. The draft is about 6 weeks away, so that's maybe the next chance here for something kind of wild. Jerry already did the boat.
He drafts a kicker? I don't know.
Maybe, right? Because remember the one, it was the last year, 2 years ago, he revealed his entire draft board. He's done a lot of crazy things. Maybe that's it. First round pick, we're going kicker here. We're going to zig when everyone else is zagging. You want tackles and quarterbacks and receivers, DNs. We're going kicker. I like where your head's at.
Yeah, where's Billy Cundiff? Maybe we could redraft him. You know, like, I don't know what this guy's thinking about. I don't know if he thinks. I don't know if he delineates. I don't know. Good luck to the Dallas Cowboys. And maybe one day, Micah Parsons will learn from Paul George. If my team sucks, maybe I should focus less on the podcasting and more on just the football. Like, whatever happened to individuality? Whatever happened to being unique? Whatever happened to bucking the trend? Everybody is doing the same damn thing. Micah Parsons, do something different. I understand nobody's reinventing the wheel. But does every star player have to have a podcast? Is it necessary? We don't get crap out of a lot of these podcasts, but nonsense. I can tell you one newsworthy, like real newsworthy thing that Micah Parsons or any of these guys have ever said. Just entertainment. Nothing substantial. Somebody give me some substance. Give me something that's more than just skin deep. I need some depth. This stupid athlete podcast, there's too many of them. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are just getting warmed up as we continue on with the show. Of course, we're going to talk about more football. In a few minutes, we're going to get into some college basketball. I told you I can't believe it, but next week, the Major League Baseball season gets underway in Tokyo, Japan. We got pro basketball to get into, as Luka Doncic is now dealing with a calf issue. That's not good. We got a lot to talk about. As a matter of fact, I told you college basketball on the other side. We are going to have a chat and a conversation with Jim Root. Jim covers all things college basketball for The Athletic. I'm going to ask him about Cooper Flagg in North Carolina. I'm going to ask him about St. John's. We're going to get into Dan Hurley in UConn. I'm going to get into the Florida Gators. Somebody called last night asking about the Gators. What do we need to look forward to as we continue on here with the conference championships? What can we expect on Selection Sunday? What can we expect next week when the first four gets underway, taking us to the big dance? Jim Root on the other side from The Athletic. Happy Friday to you. You're locked in. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We got people tuned in coast to coast, coast to coast. We got college basketball programs that they got a little bit of hope. We're moving towards Selection Sunday. We're in the midst of conference action. We got the big dance starting next week. To give us a preview of what we'll see over the next few days, damn it, what we might see over the next few hours, joining us is someone who covers all things college basketball for The Athletic. Joining us right now is Jim Root. Jim, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to be talking hoops in one of the best weeks of the year with even better basketball ahead of us.
Absolutely. A lot of low productivity workplaces all across America next week, but a good time for basketball. Let's think about today. Let's think about tonight. In about an hour or so, we're going to see Duke versus North Carolina with no Cooper Flagg. Of course, he's the biggest name in college basketball on the men's side this year. What does this mean for Duke, not just for today? Are you confident that we'll see him ready to go next week?
My best guess is that he'll sit out that opening round game. They're locked into a one seed, so against a 16 seed, I think they'll maybe give him that extra 2 days, let him make sure that ankle is as right as it possibly can be. But I think they'll need him for the second round game against an 8-9 team. There's a pretty strong crop of those squads this year, and whether it's somebody like two-time defending national champion UConn or a talented Baylor team that's got a future NBA lottery pick in VJ Edgecombe. I think getting him back for that one will be really important. But tonight, you know, it's still going to be a really strong Blue Devil squad. They've got a ton of size. They're one of the biggest teams in the entire country, even without Flagg. Really strong defensive team, the way they can switch with their man-to-man. And just the talent level. I mean, they're going to replace a lot of his minutes with a couple of freshmen, Darren Harris and Isaiah Evans, that were top 20 recruits themselves. You know, they're not going to be one-and-done freshmen and go straight to the draft, but they're really immensely talented. They can shoot it. And they'll keep Duke pretty sharp there. I think the ceiling comes down a little bit without a guy of his caliber, but Duke is still going to be an extremely tough out both tonight and going forward, especially if he does have to sit.
If he comes back and he's healthy even after one round off, would you favor Duke to win it all?
At this point, I think I'd give them a slight edge above Auburn, yeah. Auburn's just kind of, ever since they clinched the SEC regular season title, their last three games have left me a little bit concerned. You know, the first one against Texas A&M, I didn't worry too much about it. Kind of a hangover game after that big championship clincher. But then Alabama game at home, they lose. And today, really slow game against Ole Miss. They didn't seem to have the same kind of fire and just extra gear that they exhibited all season. So I'm going to give Duke a nudge ahead there, assuming Flagg is healthy, and I do think he will be. You know, it's an ankle sprain, but the kind of thing that you ice it, you work on it constantly the way they're going to. I expect him to be fully healthy, so I would give Duke the narrow edge as the favorite.
Jim Root is joining us courtesy of The Athletic. You talked about Auburn, and we see where they stand, third in the AP polls, the rankings. We see this explosion in the SEC. We had a caller last night who specifically asked about the Gators. Alabama not too far behind them. We got Tennessee, we got Texas. Talk about all these teams. SEC is just dominating, not just in football, but now basketball as well.
Yeah, they've done a really good job over the past few seasons of their coaching hires. Todd Golden at Florida has been terrific. And then even further down the line, Dennis Gates at Missouri, he's got them back in contention. Mark Byington at Vanderbilt, year one, he's got them as an NCAA tournament team after they've been on the outside looking in for a while. So just all the way down, they've really strengthened their coaches. I think they've got pretty strong NIL programs that have helped get the rosters up at a top level. And yeah, the depth of the league is incredible. They might get 14 teams in the tournament. And the top of the league, you've got four of the top six or so teams in the country, probably going to have 2-1 seeds and 2-2 seeds out of this conference. It's really impressive. The one I'm kind of enamored with right now is Florida. I just think they're so strong across the board, backcourt, frontcourt, interior. They've got shooting. They got a bunch of depth so they can play different kinds of lineups. They're not worried about a potential foul trouble because of their different options. Florida, I think, is maybe the hiding in plain sight national title contender right now.
Jim Root is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show, Coast to Coast. What other teams may not necessarily get the attention of a Duke or an Auburn, but you also feel strongly that they may go out there and win on that Monday night?
A big one for me, and it's been this way since the preseason, is Texas Tech out of the Big 12. They've got a great coach, Grant McCasland. He's won at all different levels coming up through low major basketball into mid-majors and now into the Big 12. And they've got just a greatly constructed roster where they've got size, they can play big, they can match teams that way, but they've also got a bunch of guards that can shoot so they can spread you out. It's just a different ways to play, different ways to win. That kind of flexibility and depth, I think, does matter a lot heading into the postseason. And then another one, maybe a little bit further down the board, is Memphis. They've kind of fallen out of the national picture just because they've been in the American Athletic Conference, not playing a bunch of ranked matchups. But back in the non-conference, when they played one of the toughest schedules in the country, they were terrific. And the talent level that they have, the way Penny has kind of matured as a coach, and I think he's really gotten them strong on both sides of the floor. I think Memphis will be a team that gets heard from in March. They were a basket away from maybe making a run a couple of years ago against Florida Atlantic. So I think we see the Tigers make some noise.
Well, let me ask you about some teams that aren't around right now, Jim. Well, tonight, I get it. We'll see. North Carolina, how the hell did Hubert Davis get a contract extension? How the hell did that happen?
I think that one might be one of those phony extensions where, as long as the buyout didn't increase, it's more for optics, maybe for recruiting, where it looks like, oh, yeah, see, look, you commit to Hubert Davis, he'll be here for a while. But if the buyout doesn't increase much, I think he could still be on thin ice in the long term. Especially if they don't win tonight and they end up outside of the NCAA tournament. That's two of his 4 years there. He doesn't make it. I think they would at least think long and hard about moving on this year, and it could end up being next offseason if they don't have a really strong bounce back with some increased NIL this summer.
They're going to have to ask Michael Jordan if he'll come by and coach, man. This is looking bad out there. Rutgers. How the hell do they have all this great offensive talent, Bailey? And these guys are going to be like 2, 3, 4 in the draft, but Rutgers stinks. They're done. What happened there?
Man, that's a great question. They did not play any defense this year, and sometimes it even looked like an effort thing on that end, where they didn't have the physicality or the want to keep a guy in front. Or it's an effort thing sometimes on that end of the floor. And I think Bailey's more pro upside than he is current college winner. We'll see how that potential merits out when he gets to the pros. So that was a flaw. And then their supporting cast just did not do a great job of building, the right kinds of shooting. And they had no size in the paint. They got whooped on the glass, which is never a typical thing with Steve Peichel teams up there at Rutgers. So just a lot of mistakes in the roster around Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey. And then even I would say Bailey himself had some issues defensively and as a rebounder that really hurt the team.
Jim Root is here with us from The Athletic. You talk about Bailey, and we know we will not see Cooper Flagg maybe for the next week. Who are some other prospects? We know the kind of the landscape and pipeline to the pros has changed. There's so many players who come over from Europe. Who are some other prospects that we'll see, hear, and learn about during the course of the tournament?
I won them. I kind of alluded to him earlier at Baylor. VJ Edgecombe is a fantastic prospect. He and his fellow classmate, Rob Wright, are a really nice dynamic freshman duo for the Bears. Wright actually played high school basketball with Flag, one of the most loaded teams you'll ever see in high school ball, because they also had Derek Queen from Maryland, who's an all-conference guy from the Big Ten, another top 20 team there for the Terps, with Queen as the leader. And then Georgia is sneaking into the tournament this year, and they've got a guy from that team, Asa Newell, who 6'11", lefty that can shoot from deep, but also a pretty solid shot blocker and rebounder. Those guys are excellent. And you also mentioned the international pipeline. Illinois' point guard, Kasparis Iakaunas, Lithuanian 19-year-old that is a 6'6 point guard, makes plays for others, but can hit really big shots late in games. He's got a great step back. And then Yegor Demin for BYU, a Russian freshman that dealt with some injuries, but he's going to be on a big stage tonight against Houston, one of the best defenses in the country. And I think scouts are looking for him to make a big impact. He's a fantastic passer. It's like a 6'8", 6'9", kind of point forward.
Wow. I mean, shoot, I guess Gilbert Arenas is going to be complaining about this any day now. We got more Europeans balling out on a college level now. I guess he can't wait to complain about that. Jim Root here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. One name that we've only heard this year when he's complaining is Dan Hurley. Like, there's no back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back for UConn. That's not happening this year. Is he going to shut up next year? Like, what's next for them?
No, I don't think that's his style. I think Dan Hurley wants the lights focused on Dan Hurley, and he's going to make sure he can draw some headlines, even if they're not winning. But, yeah, this team's got some problems this year, unfortunately. They can't really defend. They foul like crazy, so teams get basically a parade to the free throw line. And they're really reliant on a freshman, Liam McNeely, who coincidentally was the fifth member of that high school team with Flagg and Newell and Wright. I mean, they were ridiculously loaded. But, yeah, I don't think UConn's going to be back in the Final Four. Maybe they're dangerous in the second round against the high seed, but I think they've got a somewhat limited ceiling just because they're not playing the kind of defense that they need to.
And speaking of loud head coaches, I remember, well, the St. John's is moving. Like, how about that? Like, who would have thought that they would have been here? They were getting ripped to shreds about a year ago, getting called out, and here they are, one of the top teams in the country.
Yeah, they are. They're a team I love watching. And, you know, the big knock on them is that they can't really shoot, and I will not dispute that. It's not a team loaded with perimeter marksmanship. But the way they defend, the athleticism and physicality they play with, and it's just clearly imbued with the Rick Pitino identity of just fighting for every inch, not letting teams get easy baskets. They're currently number one in the country defensively in KenPom. So I think they're going to be heard from in March just because even without the shooting, they're good at everything else, rebounding, forcing turnovers, limiting easy baskets. It's a well-coached team with athleticism, with some big-time veteran playmakers. I would expect to see St. John's earn the headlines that they're likely to get this March.
Yeah, well, I thought Rick Pitino was done more than a decade ago. Here he is competing for another national championship. Hey, Jim, I appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they can follow you and all of your work with The Athletic.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm on Twitter. My handle is at Second Chance Points, 2ND Chance Points. Everything coming from there. And then, yeah, writing for The Athletic, a little bit for Action Network as well. And we have the three-man Weave College Basketball podcast. People want to hear me ramble even more than I did here. Two of my good friends and I have that out there. So encourage people to check it out, and I appreciate you giving me a chance to plug all that.
Absolutely, Jim. Enjoy all of the madness. I know you got a busy next couple of weeks, man. So we'll catch you on down the line. Catch you soon.
Perfect. Sounds good. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. That Jim Root covers all things college basketball from the for The Athletic. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. From one Cooper to another, we learn that Cooper Flagg is not going to be in action here for the Duke Blue Devils. He's not going to take on North Carolina tonight. We may not see Cooper Flagg next week, but the other Cooper, Cooper Kupp, apparently Cooper Kupp has found a new home in the NFL. He's staying out west. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. We'll get into Myles Garrett as well.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Well, thank you. And you're welcome. Hey, thank you to Jim Root for joining us, courtesy of The Athletic. Came by, gave us an update on everything that we need to know, everything that we need to pay attention to as it relates to March Madness. We got the conference tournaments going on. We got Selection Sunday, 2 days from now. And then we have the official start of the NCAA tournament. Well, damn it. It's Tuesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, we got the first four. Because having 64 teams isn't good enough. We have to have a competition for the last four spots. Whatever. Anyway, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We just learned minutes ago that Cooper Kupp is on his way to Seattle. He's going to play for the Seahawks. There's no Buffalo Bills. There are no Baltimore Ravens. We saw what they did by picking up Hopkins. No, Cooper Kupp is going to play in Washington. We'll talk more about Cooper Kupp and his new deal in the Pacific Northwest. We'll do that at the top of the hour. It's being reported via Adam Schefter that Cooper Kupp is signing with the Seahawks on a 3-year, $45 million deal. So Cooper Kupp is going to be opposite Jackson Smith and Jigba. And after so much talk about where he's going to play and where he's going to fit, he's going to be catching passes from Sam Darnold for the Seahawks. So we'll get into that at the top of the hour. We also heard from Sam Darnold as he was introduced as the newest member of the Seattle Seahawks. So we'll get into all of that at the top of the hour. I need to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. You can get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. We just heard from Jim Root. This man took us everywhere from St. John's to Duke and Texas Tech and UConn, told us about the Florida Gators, said they got a chance to win the national championship. If you missed that with Jim, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. And before we get to Cooper Kupp, I got to get this out the way, because you want to talk about championships. We learned this week that Myles Garrett is going to stick around with the Cleveland Browns. And ultimately, Myles Garrett said the reason that he wanted to stick around with the Cleveland Browns is to leave. He wanted to leave. First of all, let's go back. He said he wanted to leave. He put out a whole book, not necessarily, but he put out a whole statement about how he wants to leave Cleveland because he doesn't just want to be a Hall of Famer. He wants to be known as a champion. He wants to win a Super Bowl. He wants to win a Vince Lombardi. And so he said he wanted to leave. And then there was the report exactly a week ago that he was denied a meeting with the owner of the Cleveland Browns and Jim Haslam. And then 2 days after that, we find out that Myles Garrett selects, or accepts, I should say, the biggest contract ever bestowed upon a defensive player in the NFL. 4 years, $160 million. He is making $40 million per year. Myles Garrett was telling everybody this was not about the money, but apparently he took the money to stay in Cleveland. And so what exactly changed? Well, Myles Garrett actually spoke to the media today. Myles Garrett had some explaining to do. Now, you tell me if his words match what he was saying earlier. Tell me if anything he's saying right now makes a damn bit of sense. Myles Garrett was asked about the deal, and he says the deal is about winning. It's still not about money. What?
I think the fans will see that, you know, my heart's in the right place. It's never been about money. It's always been about winning, and that's where my frustration lies. And, you know, I don't regret it. I mean, I feel like I went out and earned it by, you know, playing best brand of ball that I know possible, and I plan to deliver week in and week out during the season.
It looks like the whole thing was a long game for you to get more money. So how do you tell fans, no, that's not it?
I don't tell fans anything. I go out there and prove it. If it's about the money, then I could just pack it in and not go out there and give my best, you know, effort. But I plan to be the best person possible in this locker room, be the best leader possible, dominating on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. So that really shows you know what it's all about. That really proves it to the fans. No amount of words will.
No. We ain't talking about when you play on Sunday in a couple of months. We're talking about right now. Like, you took money. You took money. You said it's not about the money. You said you want to leave. You said you want out. You said you want to go. That's what you said. You said it's not about the money. And all of a sudden, you were offered a new contract, and you took the money, and now you want to stay? And so help me out here. Maybe I'm smoking on a Friday. I'm not smoking on a Friday. I'm really not. I'm at work. But how in the hell are the Browns about winning? They have no quarterback. They got the second overall selection in the draft, or excuse me, Kenny Pickett did say he's preparing to be quarterback number one. They're going to draft a quarterback for all consideration. Help me understand. Miles Garrett, how the hell are y'all a Super Bowl contending team? Tell me, please.
It's going to take everything. And whatever it takes, I'm willing to give. I want to be a winner. I want to bring a championship back to Cleveland. So whether that's going out and recruiting, whether that's staying late, that's mentoring the young guys, just whatever it takes. I'm going to do it all because I don't want to come back here the same way we did after last season. I don't want that feeling ever again.
Oh, come on. This guy Miles Garrett is doing nothing but out here. He's shoveling you know what. That's what he's doing. Like, who the hell actually believes a word that's coming out of his mouth telling everybody? Well, we'll do this as a team. Man, y'all suck. You knew y'all suck. You wrote a whole letter to the city of Cleveland saying you don't believe they can win. You need to go elsewhere to go out and do so. And so let me ask you this. After you wrote that letter, after you said you want to win a championship, after you said it's not about the money, after you made all of this public by putting it on social media, do you want to take back what you said, Miles Garrett?
I don't regret what I said, but it did hurt because this has felt like a community. They have received me with open arms from day one, and I've given everything. So wanted to make my voice heard loud and clear, and fortunately enough, it was. And just like family, sometimes you fight, and you have to go through things. You have to build through adversity, and we'll get through this, and we'll come out right on the other side.
Oh, it's adversity. Man, being a part of the Browns is adversity. That's why you took the contract, man. That's why you signed. Well, that's why you wanted to leave. You only stayed because of the money. I don't care how much you know what you shovel. It's still you know what, okay? And he's shoveling a lot of it right now. Unless you're going to throw that on a bed of roses, I can't see anything coming up golden, man. This is athletes telling lies. You took the money after you said it's not about the money. And nothing wrong with that. You're entitled to do it. But you look kind of silly on the back end. This team sucks. I want to leave because we're not winning a championship. Well, now I'm going to stay. But it's not because they offered me money. It's because I think we can win. The fans will see that when how I play. Man, you shoveling crap. It's like a 5-year-old standing in the kitchen about why they... Did you take cookies out the cookie jar? No. Crumbs on the floor, crumbs on the counter, crumbs on their face. No, I didn't take the cookies. I didn't. Miles Garrett is just a giant crumb snatcher. 855-212-LION. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Ed is here from Pennsylvania. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Ed, what's up?
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to chime in here on Cooper Kupp. As a Rams fan, I'm not mad about it. He was declining, and I saw the deal. It looks like wide receiver one or maybe two money. It's a lot.
What? No, it's not. $15 million a year. They got him on a discount, man.
Okay, yeah, per year. All right, when you break it down like that. But my thinking was, I think a lot of this has to do with him wanting to show the Rams that he's better than what they thought, and he can do it two times a year. I don't know how much of a market there really was, but I think if there was other teams not in the NFC West, he probably preferred an NFC West team just to show them.
Yeah, I mean, you want to stick it to your employer. That'd be a good way to do so. And thank you, Ed, for calling up from Pennsylvania. Yeah, we talked about contenders. You know, I thought Cooper Kupp would end up on a team that would help him win. I mean, earlier today, this isn't a team that would help him win. It was rumored that Cooper Kupp might have been on his way to the Dallas Cowboys. It was like, what? Why would he want to join that circus? But apparently he is going north. He's going back home. Cooper Kupp has signed a 3-year, $45 million contract to be a member of the Seattle Seahawks. Cooper Kupp, yeah, he's going from one NFC West team to another. After being cut by the Rams, Cooper Kupp is a Seahawk. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this deal, what this means for the Seahawks, what this means for Cooper Kupp. And then we also heard from the newest quarterback for the Seahawks. Sam Darnold spoke. We'll hear from him. We got a lot to do on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.